Elder Alice. As I said, it continues. The title of today's message is His Goodness Reveals His Festival is in His Father's House. It's in the Father's house. And I had made a statement that I had just quoted the rhema that God had given me about Jesus being the Red Sea in the realm of the Spirit, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that points to the fact that He is the Red Sea in which we travel. He is the split waters, if you will, that we walk down, where we're dry shod, we're healed, and we are prosperous walking through that Red Sea. We're already in a blissful place as we're walking through that. And the destination is the other side. And at the other side, He said, no one cometh unto the Father. So the destination would be the Father's house. And that's where the festival is perpetual. That when we dwell in the house of our Father, David said, I'll dwell in your house forever, the house of the Lord forever. And when we dwell there, we are in a festival place. It is a time of rejoicing. It's a time of receiving. It's a time of healing. It's a time of perpetual blessing in every area. But where He brought us to, our exodus, we ended up on the other side, and it is in the Father's house. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And we'll show you proof of that throughout the word. It says, in our opening note, it says, the Lord revealed to us His Passover and His and the exodus and the power of His resurrection as well. Today, we will go further into seeing Jesus in the whole by seeing what He accomplished through His ascension. So we're going to step into the ascension of the Lord. After He rose, access wasn't fully available into Him being our festival. It wasn't quite there. One more thing needed to be done, although it was finished, as He said, on the cross. But He just had to do a couple of sacraments to give us full access.
Amen.
All right. So in fact, it wouldn't be fully granted until He ascended. Access wasn't fully granted until He ascended. He knew there was nothing stopping Him after the resurrection. He knew it. It was done. It's a done deal. He could say it's finished, because after He died, nothing was going to stop the Father from raising Him. So when He said it's finished, He meant it. So we're going to get His goodness and get our minds affected agreeably about this festival that you can live in because Jesus prepared it for you. All right. And we know that the Passover meant the sacrifice, the meal, the day, and then it becomes the festival. It is the festival. It is the place of rejoicing. It is the place where, if you've ever been to a festival, it's nothing but food, drinks, and fun. It's nothing. It takes away, if you've ever been to a festival or carnival, it really does take away a lot of the things in which you are going through when you step in and you let yourself go at the festival, and everything that was problematic prior to getting there, it just disappears. Well, in this festival, it doesn't just disappear for that moment. It's burden removing, yoke destroying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So let's talk about the festivals. In John 14 and 2, I found this so amazing. Again, I never realized what He was talking about. But again, in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all of the rest of John is after Passover from John 13 on. And so everything He's dealing with is about the Passover, the Exodus, the Ascension, everything, what's going on. And in John 14, 2, a very familiar scripture, points to the fact that the Father's house is the place of the festival. He says here, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then listen what He says. I go to prepare a place for you.
Let's go.
Hallelujah. Look at that already. You can see it. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, what's that place? Your place is the festival in my Father's house. I'm going to go prepare it. The word prepare, listen now, listen. It means to make, the word prepare means to make the necessary preparations. The necessary preparations. It was necessary for Jesus to ascend. After he rose, it was necessary that he would ascend. And you're going to see why. Because he was preparing a dimension in him that would be like a festival. It would be nothing but good times, nothing but joy, nothing but peace, nothing but healing, nothing but prosperity. It would be nothing but blissfulness. The word place, I found really amazing. It means a spot. I go to prepare a spot for you. It also means a home, hence the Father's house. It means a position or an opportunity. I go to create, another definition means power. Then it means occasion for acting, which I thought was powerful. Occasion for acting, but why? Because after the ascension, we see the apostles move into Acts, hence the book of Acts. Why? Because he prepared the occasion for acting with power, giving them an opportunity, a place, a home, a position in God the Father's house that they could move now and reveal the festival of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And fully reveal the festival of Christ. And that they did when everybody was being healed, everybody was being set free, everybody was being delivered. If you look in your mind's eye, you can see that the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost came, it became a festival unto them. That freedom was in the festival. All that they needed, devils being cast out, all sickness and disease being healed. Why? Because they entered into the festival, which was the Father's house. The place that Christ prepared for us would be our place of living in kingdom authority and power in his Father's house. It would position us, and it has positioned us, and it has given us the opportunity to walk in his power and open unto us his unto us the occasions for acting on anything that didn't or doesn't line up with kingdom living. Hence, we see this book, we see this in the book of Acts, as I've already mentioned. Jesus ascended, and they began to operate from the place that he prepared when he ascended. They operated from the festival, which was found in our Father's house.
Amen.
God wants you to understand something that, oh, hallelujah. How close are you to God when you're in the Rhema word? You're in his house. That's how close you are to God.
Amen.
You're right there with him. You're in his presence. We can receive more than just a propitiated mind when we're here in the festival or in the place of propitiation or the place of his goodness. However you want to describe your change in your mind, when your mind changes and it's affected agreeably, whatever. It's again, you can call it propitiation, you can call it his goodness. They all act the same.
Amen.
But when you're there, God wants you to know you're also sitting in my house. Jesus said that where I am, listen to what he said to his disciples after John 13. He makes this statement too, that where I am, you may also be.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? In my Father's house, at the festival, the place, the victory party. It's what it really is. It's the victory party of the death, burial, and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's the festival of God.
Amen.
Where all the promises of God are yea and amen. Everything God has said is yes and amen. I'm in agreement. You want healing? Yea and amen. You want deliverance? Yea and amen. You want prosperity? Yea and amen. In my house, it's yea
amen.
And amen.
Yes, God. Amen, Lord.
It's yea and amen for all that you need. My refrigerator is yours. Whatever I have is yours. joint heirs, where? In my kingdom, my house. Glory be to God. Now, Jesus, now let's look at this here. Let's look at this whole thing to see how he created this for us. Jesus the Lamb prepares our place, our festival. Necessary preparations are made. Necessary preparations. You'll have faith in the ascension of Jesus and what it accomplished. You're going to go past the death. You're going to go past the burial. And you're going to go past the resurrection. You're going to understand the ascension. And it's going to tie everything perfectly together and release the power of your Passover, release the power of your Exodus, release the power of the resurrection. And why you have resurrecting power? Because he ascended and performed one more sacrament, necessary preparations. Let's see what Jesus did. In John 20, verses 11 through 17, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her." Now, he had said a lot of things unto her, but he didn't put resurrecting power on it quite yet. But he puts it on right here. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." That's all he said. They had a conversation, and he didn't put any of the resurrecting power of his word on anything else that he said. But when he called her Mary,
amen,
she turned herself and saith, amen, unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say master. So that's a little sidebar. So you see the resurrecting power he releases and reveals his resurrection to her just by calling her name.
Oh, bless God.
She's looking right at him, but couldn't see him. She's hearing him talk, but couldn't understand who he was. But he made her understand just by saying Mary.
Hallelujah.
Jesus saith unto her. That's what happens when we receive this. I hear you, Lord. It's exactly what happens in the goodness of God. His goodness is his resurrecting power. Every time we get a word, there's resurrection power released unto us. And the reason why it's always released unto us is because he ascended. Now watch this. Here we go. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So there's something he had to do. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to make necessary preparations for you to walk in the power, for you to walk in the festival lifestyle, so for you to walk in every day of every moment of every day, the victory party of my death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to ascend. Because I'm making it ready for you, just like you made ready the Passover. I'm making it ready. Another word prepare means to make ready. I'm making it ready for you so that you all can walk in the festival.
Yes, God.
The fullness of Passover. The fullness of resurrection. So the Lord, he told Mary Magdalene not to touch him. That shouldn't say rod, it should say told. He told Mary Magdalene not to touch him because he had not yet ascended unto his Father's house. Had she touched him prior, and we learned this in the past, but it's worth repeating, absolutely. Had she touched him prior to his ascension, she would have tainted his blood sacrifice. He needed to go and show himself unto the Father as the lamb slain. Only, listen, and you're going to see it in a moment in the book of Hebrews, only the high priest could perform this sacrament. His preparing our place, which is our festival, would be complete after his ascension.
Yes, God.
It also leaves the question whether or not Jesus ascended prior to his final ascension. It does leave it to question because he told Thomas to touch me. Put your hand in my palms where the nails were. And he said, thrust your hand in my side. He told Thomas that he could do that. We don't have record that Thomas did touch him, but Jesus did give him the invitation to touch him. So it does leave the question whether or not he ascended, came back again, and then ascended to perform the sacrament of his blood and showing the Father that he was the lamb slain. Every time the priest every year, and you're going to learn this in just a moment, which you, most of you already know, but the priest every year, the high priest every year, all priests could move in the outer courts and perform the sacraments, but only the high priest could go back with the blood sacrifice and meet with God directly. Jesus had to go and meet with God directly to show him, to perform the sacraments in heaven that would be always and perpetually open up a perpetual Passover, a perpetual time of resurrection, always. After this sacrament was done, theirs was done in tabernacles on the earth, but his is in the tabernacle of heaven, giving us eternal access.
Yes, God.
Giving us an eternal access to the festival of God. At any rate, whether or not he did ascend twice, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if he didn't ascend and then come back. The bottom line is when he did ascend, he performed this sacrament. He showed himself unto the Father.
Amen.
Let me show you. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 12, this is going to get real good to you guys, so hang in there with me and get your faith muscles worked out today to understand that as you're here right now eating the meal under the goodness of God in the place of propitiation, understand that you're also seated in a heavenly place that is your Father's house. You're right there with him. Now, when these things were thus, it says in verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. Priest is plural there. They all went into the first tabernacle, or what we call, I believe, the outer courts, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Hence, Jesus tells her, don't touch me. Don't handle me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. I've got a sacrament to perform as high priest. I need to present myself not only as high priest, but as the lamb that was slain, that shed his blood, so I can open up this perpetual access. Watch this now. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Oh, hence the goodness of God touching our lives, which stood only in meats and drinks and in divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. What they did was carnal, but look at the profound effect that it had on that nation. Year after year, forgiven, God stayed with them, strove with them because of this sacrament.
Amen.
And it was considered carnal. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, there it is. Christ being come and high priest. He would perform the sacrament of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place. Hence, I go to prepare a place for you, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Hallelujah, God.
Eternal redemption for us. That's why every time we get into this word, you enter into eternal redemption. So in verse 7, we see why Mary couldn't touch Christ. It was because the high priest was the only one to handle the blood of the Lamb in the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies. In the outer court or the sanctuary, all priests could perform the sacraments. But again, only the high priest could meet with God directly with the blood sacrifice. Mm. Verse 11 and 12 reveals Jesus as both high priest and the Lamb. Hence, our eternal redemption, or should I say our festival, would now be prepared. The word eternal means perpetual. It's perpetual redemption. We'll see that, I believe, in a few.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's go back over to the book of Exodus after they had gotten out and crossed over. We'll take a little bit out of their book when they entered into what they felt was a festival because of their liberty that they had walked into when they got on the other side in the Exodus. And it's their rejoicing is a foreshadow of how we should be rejoicing every single day. Truthfully. Amen. It's called, I used to call it the Song of Miriam, but it is noted, it's the Song of Moses and the Children of Israel. Miriam, in fact, only sings one lick. She only has one verse. The prophetess Miriam, Aaron's sister, Moses' sister. Mm-hmm. All right. And so it says here, let's look at that when they sang in their deliverance and when they realized they entered their festival. It says in Exodus 15, this is really powerful, so please stay with me. Then sang Moses, it's going to show a foreshadow of everything I'm telling you. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. All right, let me stop right there. First of all, you know they were in the presence of the Lord, because just like in the book of Acts, when they began to speak together, scriptures, and they all were in unison because of the mind of the Spirit was over them. We kind of see this here because it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel.
That's good.
This song unto the Lord.
Amen.
I believe the song was prophetically written in that moment, mm-hmm. prophetically given to them by the Spirit of God in that moment because of their being in unity. Hallelujah. And they sang this. They sang this, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host. Think about this, people, because this is your song too. This is your song in Christ. Pharaoh's chariots, whatever Pharaoh has been on your back, whatever's been coming after you. So don't just listen to it. Receive it as your own. Whatever is the Pharaoh that's on your life, chasing you down day after day, looking to come and destroy you. Understand, this is your song too. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains all are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, listen, this is what the enemy is trying to say to you. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord,
hallelujah,
among
Jesus.
The gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Listen what he says in verse 13, what they sing. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation, to your house. You brought them to your house. You brought us to your dwelling. They weren't seeing the other side, the land of promise. No, they were in the realm of the spirit, understanding we're in your house now. We've left the house of Pharaoh. We've left the house of Egypt, the house of bondage. We're now in your habitation. That was their festival song. We're now in your house. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place, a home, my Father's house. I'm going to decorate it with my blood so that you can become and you can live in a perpetual festival in my Father's house.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, glory be to God. It's perpetual. That's why every time we get in this word, we elevate.
I am not.
We soar. We're free, praise God. We're free. We are absolutely free every time we're in this word. That's why every mistake I make, I get up and I run to my Father's house.
Hallelujah.
Every single time.
Jesus.
I do as the prodigal did. I get up, I dust myself off, and I run to my Father's house. And what does he do? He kills the fatted calf. He puts a robe on me and puts a ring back up on my finger. He restores
Hallelujah.
My soul.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm in his house. You're in his house.
Hallelujah, God.
You can lift your hands and receive what he has for you in his house. You're in the habitation of the Father.
Oh, God, I bless you.
Oh, glory be to God. Verse 13 reveals the place or festival, the Father's house that was prepared for them by their Passover, and they recognized it. It says that you brought them out in thy strength. That means might and power. Same definitions in I go to prepare a place. I go to prepare my might. I go to prepare my power for you. They recognized his power. And then they said, you did it and brought us unto thine holy habitation. The word habitation literally means in the Hebrew, God's home. It literally means in the Hebrew, God's home.
Amen.
You brought us to your home, God. We're in your house. Hallelujah. That's what we crossed over to. Never looking back, never going back. Meaning we're never coming out of your house. We come in to go out no more. We're here in the Father's house.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know we got safety. You know we got provisions. You know we got, oh my God, you know we got healing here. We're in God's house.
Make it us.
All because of the ascension of the Lord. We're in his home. We're in his abode. We're in his dwelling. We're right there. The festival was that they left the house of bondage and moved into God's house. Hence, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. We too have moved into the Father's house. The word mansions means rooms. Many rooms. And we learned years ago that the mansions really are, watch this. There are many mansions. Watch this. Let me show you your real mansion. The mansions are, the word mansions means rooms. The word rooms actually translates and brings us over to rhemas. In my Father's house are many mansions. There are many rooms. Watch this. Every time you get a rhema, you stepped into your mansion or one of the rooms in your Father's house.
Hallelujah.
Every single time I'm trying to tell you, those mansions, there are many mansions, there are many rooms here. Every time you get a rhema, you're in another room in the Father's house. You can receive. It's time to live like we are supposed to be living. Why? Because really where you're sitting right now, your geographical location is not to determine how your life is really and truly is by way of God. You might be sitting in your bedroom right now listening to this message, but in actuality, you're seated in your Father's house. Don't be limited by what's around you. Let your faith soar to the fact that you're in the festival of Almighty God. Through the victory that Jesus wrought for us when he died and rose and ascended. Don't be limited by what's around you. Oh, I feel this. There's a breakthrough on the line right now. Come on, use that sudden birth of the knowledge of God and live like you're supposed to live. Receive like you're supposed to receive. Hallelujah. In Exodus 15 and 16, watch this now. In Exodus 15 and 16, it goes on to describe this. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Wait, what? It's prophetically foreshadowing. Purchased. Eternal redemption. The word Passover, it means to be passed. It's different from the Passover that we were used to. It means Passover here means pass into other hands. They were passed into the hands of God. Jesus said that he said that no man can pluck you out of my hands because my hands are in the Father's hands. We've been passed over into his hands.
Hallelujah, God.
We're in the hands of our Father. Glory be to God. He's touching you right now because you're in the hands of the Father through what Christ our Lord has done for us. He's in all the rooms. Listen to me now and receive it for what is being said. He's in all of the rooms in his house. Every rhema, he's in that room too. And if he's in that room, you're in his hands. He's laying hands on you. The Father's hands are on you right now. You're being passed into the Father's hands as you're listening to the Rhema word, passed into his hands and coming out of the hands of the bondage. That's why you feel good. That's why you're getting the lift. But realize more, the Father's hands are on you. Receive that measure. This is a part of the festival because of the ascension. We were passed from out of the hands of the enemy in bondage into the hands of the Father. Only those who were purchased get that Passover. The blood of Jesus has truly done this for us. We need to wake up and realize we are not in Egypt anymore. We're not. We're not in bondage anymore. I find it amazing that when they came out and they came out and they got out, but the mindset of Egypt stayed on them. They couldn't clear that mindset. That's why they were up and down. Well, the blood of Jesus, the blood of our Passover, clears our conscience from dead works. So we can serve the living God. It clears us from all that rhetoric nonsense. That's what he really wants us to experience because of his ascension. He wants your mind cleared. He wants to fill you with his goodness, clearing your mind from all that rhetoric. If death didn't hold him down, it can't touch us either. Sickness and disease, they got that when they walked through their Red Sea. How much greater shall we,
yes, God,
be touched and healed? Let this goodness of the Lord that's being poured out to you affect your mind agreeably to the point where the festival of God can be made manifest in its entirety, because Jesus is giving us the whole, because the axe is laid at the root. So we're receiving more. He's giving us a greater measure. Let us receive it. You can lay hands on yourself and realize that the Father's hands are all over you. We're not in the hands of Satan. With all his diseased ways, we are in the hands of God our Father. Those that are purchased, watch this now. Those that are purchased, Passover is what they said. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. That's our purchase right there. The word eternal means perpetual. It's always in rotation. Hallelujah for that. Redemption is always in rotation. It's always available. Redemption means to redeem, to liberate by payment of ransom. He redeemed us by payment. What was the payment? Jesus himself. He paid for it.
Yes,
and this blood is the blood that was foreshadowed that would come to make this redemption perpetual. It's available. This festival life is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In a year, listen, it's available all the time. In fact, it steps outside of time. It's what's going to keep us in eternity, hence eternal redemption. This redemption that Jesus has afforded for us goes way beyond the millennial reign. This is why we'll live forever. That's how powerful his blood is. Glory be to God. This festival will never end. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, Jesus. It'll never end. It will be for eternity. This Passover is eternal. But it's now. It's now. It's on you now. It's here. Now you are seated in a heavenly place. Now we have passed over because of his blood sacrifice, purchased us. We're no longer in Egypt in terms of bondage. What he is doing through his goodness is flushing the Egyptian mentality from out of us, just as he did them, and he had to do with them. His goodness is revealing the fact that we live in the festival that is called Passover. No more sickness, no more bondage to sin, no more poverty. The power of the axe is also revealed in the festival here. You know, he's just been doing this. I don't look for this stuff. It just falls in my lap. The very next verse in Exodus 15, verse 17. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. When I read that, I said, you got to be kidding me. It says, thou shalt bring them in and plant them. The Lord said, that's why the axe is at the root. There's a planting in my inheritance. There's a planting that takes place in my house. He said, when I disconnect you from the root of this world, amen, and you really walk in the festival, you walk in all that I've done,
amen,
and you lay everything else aside, I will plant you here. But I disconnect you first from the root of this world,
yes,
and I plant you in my mountain. My mountain, the mountain of my inheritance, in my place. Hallelujah. I'm going to plant you here. He's uprooted them from their place of bondage and planted them in his inheritance. It sounds to me like the axe was laid at the root in their Passover. And then he plants them in the mountain of his inheritance. This is our transition too. This is happening to all those who are hearing and honoring the Lord, walking away from the substance of this world, really. And I mean it just like that, that where nothing else is mattering, where all of the root system of the evil of this world is just being severed. Well, as that's being severed, understand you're also being planted. Jesus. It reminds me of baptism, that you're buried in, or you're buried in the likeness of his death, but raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's like two things happen. You're buried, but raised. Buried, but raised. And that's like this, where the axe is being laid at the root, you're being, the axe is severing, and you're being planted at the same time in the mountain of his inheritance, in his house, in the festival. You're being planted here. Hence, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah. A tree planted by the rivers of waters will not be moved. You're being planted here in this wonderful festival. Don't let anything stop you from crossing over. Don't let the Judas Iscariot syndrome have any power over your life. In fact, Ella Allison, can you share with us even right now in the flow right here of what Judas Iscariot really, what his name really meant? Do you have that ready?
It meant men of Caria.
Now listen to this, everyone. Listen to this. What means men of what now?
It means men of Kerioth.
No, tell us what means men of Kerioth.
Oh, Iscariot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And when I looked up Kerioth, it's in the book of Amos 2:2. And when you look at the backdrop of the place where they were, God was judging that area. And there's one particular verse, and it shows the stronghold of the lineage where he came from. And that's in verse 6. It's just one verse, but it says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes."
Wow.
So you see right there within his lineage, like the whole tribe had this issue where they sold the righteous for silver. And we know Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. So it was in his lineage. It was just in the fabric of his DNA.
Wow.
To be totally asphyxiated on substance.
Yes.
And don't let that hinder any of you, whether it be money or anything else that you deem worthy, or that you deem or you esteem it higher than God. Don't be that person. Don't be as Judas was. To be honest with you, being born in sin and shapen in iniquity, it was in all of us. But let the blood of Jesus, that when he ascended and he sprinkled it on the tabernacle of heaven, let that blood open up your eternal redemption. And he wants the axe laid at the root so he can plant you in the mountain of his inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anything hold you down is what I'm trying to say. Least of all, doggone money. Don't let anything hold you back. That's why we honor the Lord with our substance, with our strength, and with the first fruit of all of our increase. We honor him. He's worthy. Why? Because he's planting us in the mountain of his inheritance. I kind of ran over a scripture. It just popped up and I had to read it, and it was really powerful. And I'll just give you a little bit of the scripture. I read where it says, God will cause or teach you how to profit. PROFIT. God will teach you how to profit. I believe in all of that we're learning, he's also teaching us how to really profit. Because it is the Lord who maketh rich and adds no sorrow. There's a festival wide open where at this festival, I see it like this. I can really see it. Pots of gold and silver, and precious jewels, substance of all kinds are at his festival. Freely, freely. There's healing. Oh, bless God. There's healing, mental healing. There is physical healing. There is spiritual renewal and revival here at the festival. Everything that you can imagine for the betterment of your life is in your Father's house at his festival. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to receive freely. I really want you to receive freely, freely, freely from the Lord. Having no other attachments, having no other attachments right this very moment, and just receive. Hallelujah. There is a wind of absolute restoration blowing. There is a strong wind of God's redemption blowing because of the ascension of our Lord, who has prepared a place for us. The occasion is here. That means joy, the occasion. We're in the occasion right now. So at whatever measure here, come on, receive, Lord, we receive.
Yes, God.
We receive our eternal redemption. We receive, Lord Jesus, the blessing of your ascension, the blessing of the sacrament of how you showed the Father, just like they did in the earth and in the tabernacles. And he came to them, filled it with his Shekinah glory, that most holy place. You did the same for us with your own blood, opening and giving us perfect access into eternal redemption. So we receive what is perpetual now. We receive. We receive, Lord, the healing. We receive, Jesus, restoration of all kinds. We embellish here in the festival which you gave us. We thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Boy, oh boy, you saw it all the way through. You saw it all. How perfect are you, Lord Jesus? For you to even recognize Mary's excitement and how she might have came and tried to hug you before time. You secured us there. And you didn't let anything taint our entry to this festival. You were so perfect, Lord. You're so perfect. Your awareness was and is absolutely phenomenal. You really saw it all the way through for us. Really did finish it. Help us every day to realize we're in our Father's house now. We've been passed over into his hands. Father, we thank you for receiving us because of the blood of your Son. Thank you for having us interwoven into the plan of redemption. Help us to live, Lord God, in redemption's full expression, full reasoning, and its fullness of its power. Help us even now to receive, Lord, please. I want so desperately for everyone that has a physical ailment to be healed. I want to see everybody free in every area. Oh, glory be to God. Elder Allison shared something with me that was really powerful too. She read on after the Exodus and how many challenges they went through. How many challenges they had gone through after the Exodus. And she got a prophetic word for us there. Are you ready to share a little bit of that, Elder Allison? For those of you that might be experiencing a challenge still, there's a word here. Can you share a little bit of that, Elder Allison? Because that's really on point.
Sure. I was reading in Exodus and realized that it was only 3 days after God had brought him out of Egypt, and there was a moment where they had found no water, and then when they did find water, it was bitter, and they started murmuring. And I'm like, this is 3 days after they were literally brought out of bondage, but they're complaining and murmuring. And they, you know, spoke unto Moses in their murmuring, and God had instructed him, and he saw a tree, and he simply put a piece of the tree in the water, and the water was no longer bitter. And it's like, to me, it's like they were just in a place of murmuring. But Moses, to me, was always in a position where he could hear. And it's like we often, when things aren't right or things are difficult, we often are in our own intellect. And to me, they were just continually in their own intellect, whereas like they weren't even seeking God. And he was just in a position where he could simply see a tree, put a piece of the tree in the water, and it's like, then it was fixed.
Problem solved.
But then 15 days later, they do the same thing. And one of the verses says the whole congregation were murmuring, because then it was an issue of food. And it's like, you got all these people murmuring to one man, Moses. But then still God ministered to him and spoke to him about, you know, the manna coming from heaven. And it's like, to me, just the same thing. He was in a position to hear where they weren't, meaning he went into the Rhema so he could hear. And all of those, a whole congregation didn't. So they had an opportunity to, you know, just to stay in a place, to stay out of that place of bondage. But, you know, fortunately, they couldn't.
It proves, I didn't realize it then because I didn't know the depth of the message when you shared that the first time with me. But it does prove right there that the festival is available. It's within what we're hearing. It's in the word. It's in the Rhema.
Amen.
Because every time Moses did, God showed them their provisions.
Yes, exactly. Amen.
It showed up. The festival was still going on. And if they would have caught on to that, they would have stayed there for good.
Yes.
I feel the Lord is saying to us, please don't be ignorant. When things rise up, listen. The enemy wants to try to prove that we're not in the festival of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
It's his job to do it. The Bible says in Mark 4 that when we hear, Satan is the first one on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Satan cometh immediately. Why?
Yes.
He's trying to stop the festival from taking place.
Yes.
Please realize your true positioning from this day forward. Recognize your true positioning. That although things around you may look this way,
yeah,
you're in the house of your Father. You're in the festival of your Father. So don't let anything your eyes are seeing or your ears are hearing. Don't let that be that what influences your outcome. No more.
Pascal.
You're under eternal redemption, perpetual redemption.
Yes, we are.
The Spirit of God says to me right now, if I touch your mind and I bring it into redemption, don't you know I bring all things about you into redemption too? Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. When your soul is elevated into propitiation, so is your life elevated into propitiation. The ease. Don't be moved. I have a stick that I can turn those waters that are bitter into sweet waters. I have provisions that I can send from heaven. I can make water into wine. I can call forth money out of the mouth of a fish. It's all here in my house. It's all here. I can raise the dead. I can heal all the sick. Did I not say, I heal all your diseases, every undesirable condition? Didn't I tell you my word? That's what I do. Well, that happens here in the festival. Every undesirable condition can be made whole. Hallelujah.
Yes, you can.
Recognize your true position. Recognize the true house in which you live because of the blood of my son. Recognize what he's accomplished. Live within your means, not beneath them any longer. I can do all things. I can do all things. Oh, glory. I can do all things. And all things are possible to them that believe. I prepared a place for you. I carved out a spot with your name on it. Glory be to God. Ooh, there's an anointing. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, Jesus. Just worship him for a moment, if you will. Just worship him just for a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Master, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, my Lord. I bless you. Oh, I bless you, Jesus. I bless you. Oh, how I bless your holy name. And how I thank you, Lamb of God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I thank you, my high priest. I thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for being mindful until the end. I give you glory, hallelujah. I give you honor, Jesus, for being mindful of us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God, yes. Hallelujah. There's a few comments here. Elder Allison says, hallelujah. Evangelist Darrell says, amen. And Elder Donna says, amen, amen. Bless God. Evangelist Darrell says here, it says here in Exodus 15, starting at verse 4, is what happened to all of the enemy strongholds. You see it. When we were baptized into Christ at our baptism, every opposing thing to God was drowned. Sin was completely drowned at our baptism, and we entered into the habitation of our God. We were plucked out, uprooted from the hands of Satan, and planted into the mountain of God. We are in the land, the hands of God, the potter, we being the clay, and every rhema word he is making, us again another. Yes, he is. Jeremiah 18 and 4. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Thank you, God.
Just realize daily your position, everyone. Realize every day, every single day, your true position. Your true position. You're sitting in the Father's house. You're at the festival of God. The celebration, the victory party of what Jesus has done.
Yes, God.
And every day be a day of victory because of your true whereabouts. Let your faith soar into this and don't be moved ever again. I don't care what happened last night. It doesn't matter. There is a perpetual, eternal redemption for you. He prepared a place for you.
Yes, God.
By his blood.
Bless you, Jesus.
And he's got so many rooms, so many rhemas that will bring you right into the presence of the Father. And into the hands of the Father, each rhema brings the results, brings Omega, the Father. He's on each rhema. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're not mine. It is my Father that does the works. So each rhema is a room in his house. It reveals to you that you are yet again at home, safe. In your Father's house. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's all I got for you today. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving. We're going to honor him. Bless his holy name. Let it be with a heart of thanksgiving today. Whatever the Lord purposes in your heart, let it be with a heart, just filled with just thanksgiving. Thanking him for this access into this wonderful, wonderful festival, into this wonderful celebration that is perpetual. Let it be with a heart of thanksgiving, even if you're giving your tithes or your first fruit, let it be done with a heart of thanksgiving. Also acknowledging the fact that, oh, thank you again for the axe striking my root, this world's root, not my root, but this world's root. And thank you for the simultaneous planting into your inheritance. It's happening right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Receive every seed. Receive every gift, Father. Be glorified through our giving today. Be magnified through our giving today, oh God. We thank you so, so very much. Thank you for the invitation to be in your home and the invitation to live in your home.
Yes, God.
Truly, you are our Father, and we are your children. Truly. Our minds being affected agreeably points to the fact that we are your children. And we thank you, Daddy. Abba, we give you glory. And I mean it, we give you glory. Thank you for the safety that everybody feels right now. The safety, Lord God, that is so, so prevalent, so manifested. There's a safety here.
Thank you.
Such a safety with you. Thank you so much for this. Wonderful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful feeling of safety. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Hallelujah.